We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you open our hearts now as we meditate upon the word which you have in your grace and love and mercy given us. I pray that you make our hearts receptive to these words, to the salvation of our own souls. I pray this in his name who died that we might live. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us live by the speakerphones and also those who will be receiving the sermons on the CDs in the coming weeks. Service this evening is coming from the Village Hall here once again in beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, where we've had a variety of different weather the last couple days, all the way from heavy rain and heavy wind to beautiful sunshine and white fluffy clouds. And this is Wisconsin. If you don't like the weather, you just wait 10 minutes, it'll change. But we really have needed the rain. The farmers especially are thankful for it. Those of us who cut grass are maybe not quite so thankful for it, but we're thankful too. And it's really beautiful here in Wisconsin. It is spring, and now we're going into summer. So we wish you could be here with us. We'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with us to Joshua chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 12, where a miracle occurs. I just happened to notice in the hymn that we sung how scriptural some of these hymns are. The last verse, which compares the Word of God to a lamp, it says, "This lamp through all our tedious night of life shall guide our way till we behold the clearer light of an eternal day." And at that point, we won't need the lamp anymore. And that's exactly what's happening here in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12. For 40 years, the children of Israel have eaten manna from heaven. And there were rules concerning this. We're going to get into some of them tonight. Things that they should do, things that they should not do. And you had to do it the way God told you to do it, or it wasn't going to work. But the manna miraculously came to an end the very day that the children of Israel entered the promised land, and then they ate of the corn of the land. There's a teaching here that's very important for us. The teaching is this. We need to be studying Scripture every day of our life. That will end when we enter paradise. Not before. We're not going to need the Bible in the afterlife. It's going to be in our heart completely. But until then, we need it every day or we're walking in danger. There were 10 virgins who had lamps that were burning one time. 5 of them believed this. 5 of them did not. And you know the rest of the story. The verse is, and the manna, I'm in Joshua 5 verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Last week, the Holy Spirit took us out into the farmer's field, as he so often does, and shined the spotlight on an ear of old parched corn. Very, very instructive. Now in the next verse, he moves away the spotlight from the corn to the manna, and then back to the old corn again, and then back to the manna again. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit mentions the old parched corn and the manna from heaven in the same breath. Very, very instructive, because both are types of Jesus Christ. And it's also interesting to notice how the Holy Spirit brings the manna and the corn together in Psalm 78, verse 24, which reads this way, "And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven." The word corn here is not the same Hebrew word, but there is certainly a connection, and the connection here is too obvious to be missed. The old parched corn and the manna are one. Now, an older pastor one time made a remark that shocked those of us who were younger. And the remark was this: when the gospel is preached by a true prophet in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's either going to save men's souls or cause them to be angry. That's really true. Got an example of that here in John chapter 6, where the Son of God draws the same comparison as we found in Joshua. The happening takes place right after what is commonly known as the feeding of the 5,000, although there were more than that, but the number 5,000 is used, and that's the number the Holy Spirit is working with. The next day, the men in that crowd of the feeding of the 5,000 came out to make Christ their king. These were men that at the time had a great deal of love and respect for the Son of God. By the time the day was over, the worm had turned completely. And I personally believe that this is the scene that caused Judas Iscariot to begin to turn. Judas was one that wanted to build the kingdom of Israel, and that's what these men wanted when they came out. They wanted a king that could lead them against the Roman government, drive them out, perform all sorts of miracles, this sort of thing. They were for all the wrong reasons, and the Son of God didn't take them up on it, and then followed this very sharp contention. It is interesting that these men, who really basically are unbelievers, drew a connection between the feeding of the 5,000 and the manna that came down from heaven in the wilderness. They drew that connection. They at least had that much light. We're going to follow a few of the verses in John 6. I'm beginning with verse 30. What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. The Son of God replied, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then in verse 35, one of the seven great I ams in John's gospel, I am the bread of life. And Jesus continues, and listen to some of the statements that he makes, and you can almost see the anger arising in the hearts of these people who a minute ago wanted to make him their king. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And that means, and they caught this, that means if they weren't coming, they weren't ones that the Father had given to them. Given to Christ. They caught that. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. Listen to this. That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. Now, it might look like the wheels are coming off the wagon in the ministry of Christ, who when he began was followed by hundreds of thousands and great multitudes, and when it ended there were only a handful, and they deserted him. But the wheels are not coming off the wagon. The Holy Spirit sees to that. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him. It's just like their fathers did out in the wilderness. They murmured and complained about the manna. Chips off the old block. They murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now, if he would have said, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can get to heaven. You don't have to come through me. There's a lot of other ways, too. They'd have been happy with that. When he told the truth, I'm the bread from heaven. They didn't like that. They didn't like that. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? See what they thought they knew? What they thought they knew. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? They had that half right. They knew his mother, but they didn't know his father. How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And the reason why you're not coming is because the Father's not drawing you, and you can't come, and you couldn't even if you tried. They caught that. And I will raise him up at the last day. I am that bread of life. Now some facts that they really couldn't deny. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Every one of them that ate that manna out there died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now the sad sequel is this. Many, therefore, of his disciples, the ones who were following him, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can buy into something like this? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Now you ain't seen nothing yet. What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. This is called grace. God does it all. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't bear the truth. They could go a certain amount, certain way, but they wouldn't go all the way. Some things change so little. A look at the manna. The manna is described in detail in Exodus chapter 16, and obviously we don't have time this evening to go into this in great deal, but I would like to hit a few of the high spots. I'm going to hit a few of the verses. Exodus 16, verse 14, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So the manna was described as a small, round thing. How does that relate to the Word of God? Small? You know, Scripture is a very small book. You walk into the library downtown, there are thousands of books that are bigger than the Bible has. You can easily, with hardly any effort at all, read through the Bible in 1 year. It's that small. It's a round thing. A circle is complete. And this little book that the Holy Spirit has in grace and mercy given us and love contains everything that we need to save our souls. You don't have to go anywhere else. And that's why the words of the closing words, the verses in Revelation 22, 18 and 19 are so hard. I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And that regards not only the book of Revelation, but the whole book of Scripture. And this is why the Holy Spirit is so careful about this. The devil contaminates the Bible either by adding to it or by taking away from it. It breaks the circle. We can't allow that to happen. It is extremely important. Doctrine counts for a lot. Okay, it fell upon the face of the wilderness. And you know, they needed the manna as long as they were in the wilderness. As soon as they crossed the Jordan and got in the Holy Land, they didn't need it anymore. It didn't come anymore. What wilderness were they in? The wilderness of sin. And this is as long as we need to study Scripture every day. As long as we are still living in sin. That's not going to change till we get our glorified bodies at the last day. This is important. This is important. Okay. Exodus 16, verse 15. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one unto another, it is manna, for they knew not what it was. Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. The word manna seems to mean, what is it? Man, by nature, doesn't have the slightest idea what the Bible is. It's just like any other book to him. To a child of God, it's manna from heaven. Human words, yes, but words that are purified 7 times by the Holy Spirit miraculously to use human words, words on our level, and give us the inspired word of God, every single word of it. Comes from heaven, every single word of it. Exodus 16, verse 16. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Gathering involves work. You've got to get out there and you've got to work. And that's the way it is in Scripture. You've got to work at it. Tents, this is a home situation. The Holy Spirit brings it right into the tents, them which are in the tents, according to all the number of your people, every man for those which are in his tents. And he continues, and the children of Israel did so and gathered, this is a miracle, some more, some less. Some were better at it than others, or some had more time than others, or whatever. I don't know. But I know this, that we don't all have the same time every day to study Scripture, same amount of time. I know that. When I was in the organized church, I often would study Scripture 8-10 hours a day. I can't do that anymore. I don't have that time. I still study it every day, but I'm not that much. But you see, there were differences here. Some had some more, some less. And when they did meet it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over. Well, he needed every bit he got. And he that gathered little had no lack. The one that couldn't spend as much time as somebody else was still blessed. Do what you can, and the Holy Spirit will give you what you need in the time that you've got. And you give somebody else that had more time what he needs and time that he got. He never had too much, never had too little. That's the way it is, the child of God. That's how the Holy Spirit feeds us. It's a good diet. Not too much, not too little. Just exactly right. They gathered every man according to his eating. This is a miracle. Moses said in verses 19 and 20, let no man leave it till the morning. There were some rules here. It didn't sound like it was right to go out whole hog one day and then slack off the next. Don't leave it till morning. And now this doesn't come with any surprise. Someone's going to check this out. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning. What happened? It bred worms and stunk. And Moses was angry with them. Verse 21, they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It wasn't there all the time. You had to get it when it was there, while the getting was good. Now, some people have used this thing. You know, they were supposed to go out every morning. And some have said, well, this is an example where you should start every day with the Word of God. You get up in the morning. And that's true. But there are some that can do it another way, too. I used to kind of begin my day, in my own mind at least, about 10 o'clock at night. That's when the phone stopped ringing and things quieted down. And very often I would go over to my study 10 o'clock tonight and be there till 1 or 2 in the morning. And I started my day that way. Or ended it, whichever you want. But it was there. If that's the way you'd rather do it, God will work with that. But it's the daily thing that counts, the daily thing. Now in 22 to 24, it came to pass that on the sixth day, here's another miracle, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. There evidently was so much there on the day before the Sabbath that they got twice as much as normal. They came to Moses and told him about it. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Well, why? Well, the Sabbath is kind of a special day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And we should be studying Scripture every day in the home, and we should. But we should also come together on a special day during the week. God blesses that. Now, there may well come a time when you can't find a place where you want to worship. Then you go into the homes. If there are no true prophets around that you know of, you go into the home rather than sit at the feet of a false one. God will bless that. But if you do have a true prophet, you should come. 25 to 27, Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days else shall ye gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in that there shall be none. Now you know somebody going to check that out. They're going to buy into that. So they did. It came to pass that there went out some people on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. You know, you can't turn the water of life on and off like a water faucet. It doesn't work that way. Got to do it God's way, because God will not be mocked. And if we're not doing it God's way, it's not going to work. You can get intellectual knowledge out of it, but you don't get anything from the heart. Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees are exhibit A, B, and C of that. Remember the night that the wise men came to Jerusalem, to Herod, and said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And Pilate, king, called Herod, called the scribes. Where should the Savior be born? And they came up with the right answer, Bethlehem of Judea. For it is written, Thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of he shall come forth unto me that is to be king in Israel. That's where it is. And the wise men took off for Jerusalem, or for Bethlehem, as fast as they could go. And the scribes went back home. In the head, but not the heart. Didn't do them any good. You got to approach the word the right way. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. White is purity in Scripture. The Word of God is pure. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, every word of it. That's what makes the Bible so different from every other book. And it's sweet with honey. The elect of God love it. They love it. It's not a burden. Children of the devil don't. They don't love it. Now, in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 6, we find these words. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. That mixed multitude, when they left Egypt, that mixed multitude went with them and caused them all sorts of grief. And here the mixed multitude started it, and a lot of them fell in with it. And they said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Now listen to this one. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Freely? When did Pharaoh ever give them anything for nothing? They were slaves. He was working them to the bone. They forgot about that. The mind of the unbelievers doesn't work right. We remember the fish which we didn't eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Six things are mentioned. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And we don't like it. For 22 years, if you will forgive a personal reference, for 22 years, this was my story in the ministry. We don't like it. We don't want it. We want other things. Well, they didn't get the other things. They didn't get it. At least not for me. The final reference to manna in Scripture is exactly where you would think it would be, the last book of the Bible. I've come full circle here. So often as we studied the book of Revelation, we found references that go back to the opening books of Scripture, especially Genesis and Exodus. Here we have another one. A promise to God's elect, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. The manna was white. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receiveth it. So you see, the manna now is hidden. And it's only given to the one who overcomes. And you know, the scene as it's portrayed in Proverbs chapter 1 is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I'd like to end the sermon with the words of the Holy Spirit in Proverbs 1. Beginning at 24, and then the opposite side of the coin in Proverbs 2. Because I have called, and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall they seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of